Monday the 6th of September, Kof Zayin Elul, Rabbi Pesach Kron, to merit long life, the mitzvah of kibbutz of Va'im. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by family Shai Yashuv, L'chavet Simchas Bar Mitzvah Shel Nochum Yoel. Today's shiur, in addition, has been dedicated in the schus refers Shlema for Chava Avo Bas Nika, a young mother of three diagnosed with a machla kosha. You hear what's saying that she should be zocher to a refers Shlema of a kollel.
It's a great coverage for me to have been invited once again to come to speak to all of you on Torah Way. Those of you who are here, as it says in Parshas Nitzavim, those that are here and those that are not here, I want to thank first and foremost Dudi Itzkowitz, because without him, he was the one who made sure that it was arranged. And then, of course, Dov Harris, who brought me in for PAL, and I hope that all of us will be able to be inspired this morning on this very, very important topic, which is not spoken about often, but I felt before Rosh Hashanah, we all look for a Chaim Shel Brocha, Chaim Shel Toiva, and Chaim, in general, good life, and we know that the star for Kibbutz Av is the Indian of Arichas Yomim. So I want to begin by telling you a very, very beautiful story. And this is a story that Rav Ruvain Feinstein told me. Rav Ruvain, of course, is the Rosh Yeshiva and the Yeshiva of Staten Island, and his father, of course, was the great Rav Moshe Feinstein. And I remember one time that I was speaking to Rav Ruvain, and he said to me about his relationship that he had with his father. And he said that when his son, Rav Ruvain's son, became Bar Mitzvah, that was the same Shabbos that coincided with the Aguda Convention. Now, of course, the Aguda Yisrael Convention is one of the prime events that happens in America for Orthodox Jewry. And, of course, Rav Moshe at the time was the main speaker together with Rav Yankiv and others, but it would be unheard of that Rav Moshe Feinstein should not be there for Shabbos at the Aguda Convention. But that was the Bar Mitzvah of his grandson. And I asked Rav Ruvain, how were you able to tolerate and to understand that your father would not be at your own son's bar mitzvah? So he said, I want to tell you three reasons. But first he said, I want you to know that on Thursday in the yeshiva in Fresh Yerushalayim, they had, the little boy had an aliyah, and they had a little suda, and of course Rav Moshe was there, and then Shabbos he went to the convention. And he said like this. He said, the reason that I was able to withstand the fact that my father was not at my son's bar mitzvah was because that I knew that he loved me. So that's a very, very important thing for children to understand, that parents really love them. And I said, how did you know that? So he said to me three reasons. He said, every single morning when I was a little boy, every morning at 6 o'clock, my father, now this is the Gadol HaDor, would come into my room and he would take my clothes, my undershirt and my socks, and my pants and my shirt, and he would put it on the radiator. And it would be on the radiator for a half hour, and then at 6:30 he came, and while I was just about getting up, he would dress me under the covers with the warm clothes. Imagine Rav Moshe Feinstein taking his child's clothes, putting it on the radiator a half hour before the child woke up, and then dressing the child that way. That was the first way, he said. The second way, he said, was, I knew every year we would go to a certain bungalow colony. Now today, of course, the summer homes and the areas are much more equipped with all kinds of things that children could do. They said in those days, there was nothing for a child to do. It was just, you know, trees and grass, and kids went out to play or whatever. And the highlight of the day was when the owner of the bungalow colony would take a open-ended truck, and it was like a hayride that the kids would go in the back of that open truck, and then he would go into the city to get the food or whatever he needed for the next couple of days. So once a day he would go into town, and all the children would love to ride in the back of that truck, and that open truck on the hay. And he said, I could be learning with my father. We were in the middle of learning. We could have been learning Mishnayos or Gemara or whatever. But when he saw that truck was about to leave, he closed the Gemara and he closed the Mishnayos and he said, go, I know that you enjoy it. We'll make up the learning some other time. So here was Rav Moshe, the Gadol HaDor, who understood what a child wants and the joy that he would take from his child if he didn't allow him to have that little joyride. But the third thing to me is the most important, and I think that this is one of the main reasons that I enjoy telling this story, is because I think this is such an important lesson that you give over to children. Rav Ruvain said, every Friday night, I sat right next to my father at the Shabbos table. Unless a Gadol HaDor came into the house, my place was right next to my father. Now there are many fathers and many of us, but when we have guests, we put the guests up front, and the children are spread out throughout the table. And what happens is that by the time the fish is served, or certainly by the time the soup is served, the kids are out of the table because they're out of the conversation and they're away from the Shabbos table. Your child belongs right next to you. And you know what he told me, Rav Moshe said? It's amazing. It says, Yiyu aniyim b'nei beisecha. Aniyim should be part of your home, but they don't take over. That's what Rav Moshe said. Aniyim should be part of your home. Of course you have to have Shabbos guests, but the Shabbos guests don't take over. They don't sit right next to you. The children sit next to you, because that's, first of all, how you have control. But then you're teaching that lesson, that the child is the most important thing, and your children are most important than anything else. And so, if we understand, and all of us, Baruch Hashem, who have children and grandchildren, and we see how much we do for the children, why does the Torah have to tell us such an important mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em? It's almost self-understood, the way we clothe the children, and we feed the children, and we protect the children. A child can only appreciate what a parent has done when they become a parent. Otherwise, no child can really appreciate. But it's a question of Hakaras HaTayiv, right? So then why is it such a Dogash Chozik? It's from one of the Aseres HaDibros. So there's two things that I would like to share with you. One, which is brilliant, and then over here I want to show you something. Maybe we'll just move this beamer for a moment, and I'll show you something fascinating in a moment. But that's good enough. The first thing that the Chinuch tells us, the Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, he says, "Meshar Sheh Hamitzvah, the root of the Mitzvah, Sheroi Loi LaAdam SheYakev Yigmal Chesed L'Misha Otsa Imay Toiva." It comes to teach us that you have to be Makir Toiv to those who do you a favor, and a person V'Loiya Novol Omanake V'Kofi Toiv. A person shouldn't be a disgusting person. Somebody does you a favor, you don't say thank you. So that's the idea of the Kibud Av V'Em, that a child has to have a Karas HaTayiv. Shezil Mida Ro U'Ma'usa B'Tachlis of Shnei Elokim Anashim. That's the most disgusting thing, Zog Techinuch, in Mitzvah Lama Gimel, when a person is Kofi Toiv, he doesn't say thank you. But listen, that's not the only reason. He says, U'Kishayik V'Azois HaMida B'Navshay. When a child, or all of us, get to appreciate what our parents have done for us, Yala M'Mena L'HaKetev HaKel Baruch Hu, then we're going to have Hakaras HaTayiv to everything that Hashem gives us. I don't see anybody here in a wheelchair. I don't see anybody here on a respirator. Did we thank Hashem this morning that we're alive, we're able to come to this year, that we're able to hear, we're able to see? We don't take these things for granted. We do take these things for granted. And that's what he says, that's the real mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. It's only a conduit. Because if you're constantly thanking your father and your mother, and you're serving them, and you're giving them kavod, then you're going to come to give kavod and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Shehu Sibosei V'Sibas Kol Avoseh V'Adod Marishein. The whole reason of our existence is only because of Hashem. That's the first reason of Kibud Av V'Em. That's why it has to be a Dogash Chozek. The second thing is, those of you, obviously, those listening on the radio, and obviously you don't have a video, so you cannot see, but you can all visualize, which we can hear under Aron Kodesh, the Aseres HaDibros. So Sham Shafolish asks a great question. We know that the first five of the Aseres HaDibros are considered Ben Adam LaMokim, and the second five are considered Ben Adam LaChaveiroi. Right? There's five and five on both of the tablets. If that's the case, Frekt of Sham Shafolish, the first on the side, Anochi Hashem, we know these are have to do Ben Adam LaMokim. Why is Kibud Av V'Em on Kabbalah Avicha Besemecha? Why is on the right side? No matter how great your parents are, they're not Malachim, they're not God. So where is this Ben Adam LaMokim? Really, it should have been on the second side, because that's really Ben Adam LaChaveiroi. A parent, a father, and a mother are human after all is said and done. And he gives a brilliant answer. And the brilliant answer is, he says, you know what, the essence of Kibud Av, what is the essence of parenting? The essence of parenting, it's not just to feed your child and clothe your child, even goyim do that. Even animals protect their young ones. For that we didn't need a mitzvah. The idea of parenting, and why we owe our parents everything, is because they are the ones that are supposed to bring us to Har Sinai. They are the ones that bring us the legacy back of everything that Klal Yisrael stood for and stands for all the way back to Har Sinai. They are the ones that make the connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what parenting is all about. Parenting is not only giving a physical sustenance to your child, but to give the ruchnius dikas sustenance to your child, to make him understand what Torah is about, to make him understand what Yiddishkeit is about, to make him understand what the Ribbono Shel Olam is about. That's why Kabbad es Avicha is on the right side. Because the essence of a father and a mother is to act in such a way that it brings the child closer to Hashem. That's why it's such an important mitzvah. That's why it's such an integral part of the mitzvah. So I want to show you something amazing. I'm going to try to explain this. Hopefully I'll be able to explain it well, but I must admit to you that I had to hear this story 3 times in order to understand it. But I know that we're constrained in time, so I'm going to try to give it over, and all of you involved in math will be able to explain it to anybody who doesn't understand it, but I'm sure that you'll all be able to pick it up, as I will try to explain it as well as I can. However, first, the first Gemara that I want to bring out is that the Shloisha Shutrin Ba'adam, as we know the Gemara says in Kedushin, Lamed Amud Beis, that there's the father, and then the mother, and the Rabbeinu Shalom, okay? And that's why in the word Ish, you have the Yud, Aleph Yud Shin, and in the Isha, you have the same Aleph Shin, but you have the Hey. So the Yud and the Hey, the Yud of Ish and the Hey of Isha is Yud Kei, which is God, which is the third partner of a human being. Now, watch this. It's absolutely brilliant. There's nothing short of this but brilliance. Rav David Feinstein again told me this story. This the other one, Rav Reuven told me this, Rav David told me. And it's always good to ask an Adam Gadol or the son of an Adam Gadol, tell me a story about your father that nobody knows. You know, it's like you really get a nice insight into something that's very personal or just very unique. So I was once sitting with Rav David Feinstein at Lav Malka, and I said to him, tell me a story about your father that nobody knows. And he told me this remarkable story. There was a boy in high school. High school in America goes from grade 9 till grade 12, so that's the age from between 13 and 17. And this boy in Teretz Yerushalayim was a brilliant kid, and he wanted to stay in learning. He didn't want to go to college. He wanted to be a big Talmud Chacham, and he wanted to teach Torah. That's what he wanted to do. However, his father was a math professor, and his father wanted him to go to college and become a math professor just like he is. So Rav David didn't know what to tell this kid, because here the kid is going to graduate high school. Next year he's either supposed to go to the Beis Medrash full-time or go to Beis Medrash in college. And he's arguing with his parents. So Rav David went to Rav Moshe. And he said to Rav Moshe, what should I do? What should I tell the father? So Rav Moshe said, call him in to me. Let him come. I'll talk to him. Okay, so they bring the fellow into Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe listens to what this fellow has to say, and the fellow is a mathematician, so he says, Rabbi Feinstein, in your Torah, it says, Achrei Rabim Lahatash, you go after the Rabim, right? We all know that there are three partners to a child, right? The father, the mother, and Hashem. Okay, so you represent Hashem. I understand that. But me and my wife, we wanted to go to college, and 2 against 1, you know, is it's your Torah. It's not my fault. You know, your Torah says, Achrei Rabim. So Rav Moshe says, excuse my saying so, but I think you have your math wrong. Now listen to this brilliance, okay? The first thing to understand is that 3/3 obviously make up a whole, right? That's the first thing. So Rav Moshe says like this. Your child is composed of 3 partners. You, your wife, and Hashem. Fine. Now you, he says, you the father, you're also composed of 3 partners, right? You have your father, your mother, and Hashem. So 2/3 of you want him to go to college. But 1/3 of you, the Hashem part that you come from, wants him to sit and learn. Now, your wife is also composed of 3 partners. Father, mother, and Hashem. So 2/3 of her also want the kid to go to college, but 1/3 wants him to go to sit and learn. Now, the third partner is Hashem. So 3/3 of Hashem want him to go to college, to go to Beis Medrash. So it comes out, if you add all the 3/3, you know, the third, that's, you got 9/9, 5/9 want him to go to Beis Medrash, and only 4/9 want him to stay in school. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that brilliant? His own math. He took the math of the person, the math professor, and he turned them on his head. And of course the boy stayed in learning and became a very big Talmud Chacham. But you see, that's why an Adam Gadol is an Adam Gadol. Now, I want to share with you a story. The story is, I'm going to try to make it as quick as possible, because it's just so absolutely remarkable. And just to introduce the story, I'll tell you something which I saw recently, which I couldn't get over. You know, it says at the end of the Torah, B'chasavta al avonim, that he's supposed to write, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to write the Torah on avonim, on stones. Dvarim chavzayim pasuk ches. It's called the Rehatorah Azois. So I once saw that the word Evan, why did Hashem write that it should write on a stone? Evan stands for Av, Ben, and Neched. Father, a son, and a grandson. When Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to write the Torah on Avonim, he was writing the Torah so that they should understand that this is something that lasts forever. And this is Av, Ben, and Neched. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you the most fascinating thing. This is so adorable. Many of you know that I have a Rebbe. His name is Rav David Cohen. Rav David Cohen once told me, and he always says when I quote it, I should say that it's not his words. He heard it from somebody else because he wants to give credit. He doesn't want to take credit for something that's not his. But listen to this. How do you say grandson in Yiddish? Einikel, right? So where does the word Einikel come from? So he heard from someone that it says by the snare, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the bush, it says Vahasne Einenu Ukol. Einenu Ukol, it did not get destroyed. Say the word Einenu Ukol very quickly. Einenu Ukol, it's Einikel. Isn't that incredible? Einenu Ukol. If you are Zoicha to have a grandson that's going B'derech HaTorah, then those generations are Einenu Ukol. Then they're not getting destroyed. That's the Evan, that's the Av, that's the Ben, that's the Neched. That's what it's all about. I'm telling you, even Yiddish is holy, right? It's amazing. So listen to this beautiful, beautiful story. And again, this story is a long story, but we're going to be makatzer it. Today, there is a Rosh Yeshiva. His name is Rav Yechiel Per. He is the Rosh Yeshiva in the Yeshiva of Far Rockaway. And it's a very, very big Yeshiva. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. His father, Rav Menachem Per, was a tremendous tzaddik. As a matter of fact, Rav Yechiel told me about his father, Rav Menachem, that before he passed away, he had a shul in an area that never turned black, and the whole area changed, and the whole shul fell apart, but he stayed there until the last person lived in that neighborhood. He didn't want to leave that Kehillah. And it wasn't, you know, from the most prominent places, obviously, but this was a shul that he had built over the years, and he felt close to those balabatim. So before he died, he said to his son, Rabbi Chil, that he wants to be buried in the shul's plot, in that area where all the people of the balabatim of the shul are buried. So Rabbi Chil told me that he said to his father, what if we have a chelka de Rabbanan? In Brooklyn, there's a place where Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and all the other tzaddikim are buried. And he said, we bought a place in that area. We want that you should be buried among the greatest Talmid Chachamim. And listen to what he said. He said, you know, I know the people of my shul, and I know certainly the children of the people of my shul. Many of them are not religious anymore. But I know one mitzvah they're going to keep. On the yard site of their parents, they're going to come back to the Beis Olam. And they are going to come to say a tefillah or something by their parents. Now, when they see me buried next to their father or to their mother, maybe then they will remember at that vulnerable moment, oh, Rabbi Per, right, he taught me something about kashrus. He taught me something about Shabbos. Maybe in the schos of my father, I should keep Shabbos. Maybe in the schos of my father, I should begin eating kosher. So it's worth it to me to be buried among the humble people, so that maybe one of these kids or their grandchildren will someday come to tshuva, then it is that I should have that covet of being buried among all the rabbanim. So you can imagine what kind of tzaddik he was. So Rabbi Yechiel Per, they lived in that area in Ozone Park, and the area was changing, and one shul after the other was being sold, unfortunately, to black people. And Rabbi Per heard that one of the shuls was sold, and they sold it to a group of black priests or whatever. And he couldn't believe it. How could they sell it with the Sifrei Torah and everything? And he found out that there was one pharmacist, the druggist, who had the keys to that shul, and he was the one who had given it over. He was the last one who made the sale. So Rabbi Per goes to him. Rabbi Per goes with his son, Rabbi Menachem goes with his son, Rabbi Chil, who was a teenage boy at that time. He says, how could you have done such a thing? It's a terrible thing. He said, well, they said they were Hebrews. So, and they came with paper, and they said they're Hebrews, so I sold it to them, because, you know, aren't the Hebrews Jews? Isn't that all the same thing? Of course, the guy was very foolish, and Rabbi Per goes to that shul. He comes in, all the furniture has been rearranged, they built different walls, and the Aron Kodesh is behind a wall already. And he goes over to the priest and he says, what are you doing here? He says, well, we are the Hebrews. He said, but do you keep the laws of Moses? He said, no, we keep the laws of Malki Tzedek, whatever that's supposed to mean. So he said, so then you don't need the holy scrolls anymore. So give it to us back. That's all he wanted. He didn't care about the building. He wanted the Sifrei Torah. And he said, no, I can't give you that, because those are holy relics and we want to save them. And we're not giving them back. Okay, so there was no way. He felt he was such a broken person, Rabbi Menachem, when he came home. Rabbi Yechiel Per has a younger brother and a sister. And they decided when they heard this story that they're going to take matters into their own hand without telling their father. So Motzei Shabbos, after they thought their father was asleep, he wasn't, he was in his Beis Medrash in the house learning or whatever, they snuck out and with hammers and chisels and screwdrivers or whatever, they went into that building, Motzei Shabbos, and they broke the window. One of them climbed in and opened the door, and they ran in to take both Sifrei Torah, and they had this big black plastic bag so they could carry it that nobody would notice on the outside. And unfortunately, one of the Sifrei Torah was already gone. Maybe they had sold it or whatever, but they were only able to save one of them. And just to tell you this, just because it's just adorable, as they were, you know, they walked slowly, so it shouldn't be obvious, but then once they got about a block or two away, they started running, and the girl, who today is Revitzin Tendler in Baltimore, told me that when does a woman ever get a chance to hold a Sefer Torah? Ever, right? So she asked her brothers, please, let me hold the Sefer Torah. I'll never get this opportunity in my life. So she held the Sefer Torah, and you can imagine these two teenage boys, they're singing, so she already, you know, like in the middle of the street, Motzei Shabbos, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and that's how they carried the Sefer Torah home. Okay, they put it up in an attic, and they kept it in the attic for 5 years. They never told their father about it. And they had the Sefer Torah upstairs. Years later, Rabbi Chil was already a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was learning in Lakewood, very close to Rav Aaron. And one day there was a fellow who came in from the organization called Pe'ilim. And Pe'ilim was opening different yeshuvim in Eretz Yisrael. And this fellow, Avram Hirsch, Shalom Shalom, a wonderful person, I remember him well, came to Lakewood and asked the boys if they would raise money and go out and help, you know, to raise money so that Pe'ilim should be able to begin this yeshuv. And he said, we need a Sefer Torah in that new yeshuv. So Rabbi Per thinks, oh my goodness, they need a Sefer Torah. I'll give him that Sefer Torah. So he goes to Rabbi Aaron, and he says to Rabbi Aaron, you know, I didn't want to say anything in front of everyone, but I have a Sefer Torah. And he says, Roshira, just tell me, did I do the right thing by stealing that Sefer Torah? I never told anybody that I did it. Rabbi Aaron says, of course you did. You did the right thing. It's a shame you couldn't get the second one. He said, give it over to Pilum. That would be wonderful. Good. He comes home, and he says now to his brothers, now's the time to tell our father what we did. And he goes to his father one Friday night, and he says to him, Tata, I want to tell you something. I never told you this. Do you remember 5 years ago we went to that druggist, Motzei Shabbos, me and the brother and sister, we went and we stole that Sefer Torah, and it's upstairs in the attic. He says, I don't believe it. He says, a Sefer Torah is in my house for 5 years, and I didn't realize it? He says, come, Tata, I'll show you. And they go up to the attic, and he uncovers that black bag, and how they had wrapped it, and they put it in a box. And Rabbi Nachum Peres besides himself. He cannot believe it. The next morning he says to his son, come with me. I want to talk to you. I want to tell you something. And they're going to be Mavaka Chayla someone, and he tells them this remarkable story. He says, I want to tell you what happened when I was your age. He said, I grew up in Kharkov. And in those days, the Yidden were being persecuted by the Russians. And one morning, they came, and they threatened to burn down the shul, and they lit the shul on fire. Everybody was out of the shul. He says, I knew very well that there was a Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh. And I knew very well that the Russians were standing around, and if I go in to save that Aron Kodesh, that Sefer Torah, they could kill me. But I didn't care. I decided I'm going to save that Sefer Torah. And I ran inside through the back of the shul. The whole shul was on fire. I knew I could lose my life doubly, either by being shot or by being burned. And I ran it, and I took the Sefer Torah out through the back way. And that was where the Sefer Torah was in our home. My father made a minyan, and we had the Sefer Torah. I cannot believe, he says, that which you did as a teenage boy is the same thing that I did all those years earlier as a teenage boy to save the Sefer Torah. Now, Rabbi Yechiel Per's daughter is a woman by the name of Tzipora Pankaufman. She teaches together with my wife. And she told me that one day she was teaching this medrash. The medrash is in Shemois Rabbah, Perek Dalad, Oisbeis. And it tells us like this. That Yael, Eshes Chever Hakeni, she was the one who killed Sisra, and she saved Klal Yisrael. So the medrash says, how was she Zoicha to do that? So the medrash says, because her ancestor was Yisrael. And Yisrael, in a sense, saved Klal Yisrael because he saved Moshe. And the Medrash says, "Mikan atalomed." Here we learn, "Misha kibel al atzmoi lasais mitzvah." Anybody who is undertakes to be makayim a mitzvah, ein oisai mitzvah poisekes mibesai. That mitzvah never stops in his generations. So she called her father, and she said, "Do you know why? It was in your DNA." It was in your gut to save that Sefer Torah? Because your father saved the Sefer Torah. And the Medrash teaches us that if somebody is Moisa Nefesh for a mitzvah, it becomes part of the DNA of their family. That's the relationship that we have with our children and grandchildren. How important and how integral it is to be involved in mitzvahs, even if your children don't know about it. About it, they should know. But even if they don't know, because that's the influence, that's the connection. That mitzvah that you do, Matan B'Seisa, that stucco, or that chesed, or whatever you do, don't think it gets forgotten. It becomes part of your children, even if you don't realize it, and even if they don't realize it. That's what the connection is all about. So, of course, there are so many halachas that deal with the relationship between parents and children. And I think that one of the things that we have to be careful is that a father and a mother has to demand a certain respect from a child. You know, today we want to be our children's pals. We want to be their best friends. But a child is not allowed to sit where you sit. If that's your regular place in shul, if that's your regular place in shul, or that's your regular place in the home, even if it's in the middle of the week, the kid who's doing homework should not sit there. And your wife should not let your child sit in your place, nor should you let a child sit in the mother's place. And that's what it says in your day of Simi Reish Mem. Even if he has a specific mokum kavu, a child doesn't daven in his father's place. And even if the father doesn't want to eat then, it's not meal time. Then it's also for a child to sit there. And it's important that a child understands that a father or a mother's on a pedestal. Of course, you want to be friendly to your children and you want to spend time with them, which is most important, but they have to realize that there is an awe here. And not only that, even it goes for step-parents. Chayiv Adam L'chabed Eishes Aviv. A person has a stepmother. It's also, he has to give kavod to the stepmother and to the stepfather. Even though it's not his mother. Kol Zman She'Aviv Kayim. Of course, that's all the time when the father is married to the stepmother. V'chayiv L'chabed Baal Ima, the same thing. Aval Acha Misa, once a father dies, and the woman who was a stepmother, so you're not m'chuyiv in kavod, and a chayiv, u'mekol mokim dover hogon l'chav d'maf l'acha Misa. Somewhere a woman that was a stepmother or a father who was a stepfather, you don't give up that covet. It's a nice thing to do. This was somebody that was married to a parent, and therefore you continue giving that covet at all times. I want to tell you something also, which is very important. This is very, very sharp, but I'm going to tell you exactly where it comes from. And again, this is something that we have to be machanech our children. The Leiv Eliyahu, the Rav Eliyahu Lapyan, writes in Chelek Gimel of his Sefer, page Shin Lamed Zayin and Shin Lamed Ches. He tells children, and we have to demand it from the children. We're not allowed to be afraid of our kids. Many people are afraid of their children. They're afraid if they put down the law, the kid is going to become a kid at risk. It's just the opposite. It's when you don't put down the law. You have to put down the law with goodness. The child has to be convinced that you love them. But if you don't put down the law, then the kid is out on a free society. Hey, listen what he writes. You have to make sure that you help your child in the home, and help your parent fixing up the house. You shouldn't cause chas v'shalom that your mother is going to say, "Aho, miyoyim shechozeb nima hayeshiva nasa yisedeb habayis." Once the kid comes home, ben hazman, and the house is a holy wreck. Well, once the girl comes home from seminary, it's a holy wreck. I'm going to read you what Rav Elia Lapyan writes. You don't even have to translate it. Listen to this. Yeshman Abochrem. Okay, there's some boys. Kishaboyim ben Azmanim lebesam. When they come home ben Azmanim. I don't care if they come from Gateshead or Mirror or Lakewood or any place. Harayim mispachim ala sapa kitana goylim. That's what he says. They spread themselves out like roosters, right? On the couch. Umaspankim betirutim shirdim lo yirutim lechabin esavim. Even they don't want to give covet. Ein zois kim roya leiv v'chasar nakar satoiv. It's terrible midas. A boy should know what a vacuum cleaner is. There's nothing wrong with your son vacuuming after Shabbos. How do you like that? And there's nothing wrong with a son cleaning off from the table. You know something? There's nothing wrong with a boy doing that. You know why a lot of marriages break up? Because the parents had a goya in the house who did everything. The boy or the girl never made a bed, never folded laundry, never went shopping. And now all of a sudden they don't have money for a goya. Or they don't have money for all the help in the house. Oh, I should fold laundry? In my life I never folded laundry. I know a guy in Brooklyn, literally, that was one of the times he came to me, he eventually got divorced. His wife refused to fold laundry. Imagine what kind of churban that house looked like. It's unbelievable. Okay, so you stacked it up in one place. Fine, thank goodness. Right? But what kind of, that's not the way we train children. I once heard a beautiful expression. The word team, T-E-A-M, you know what it stands for? Team stands for together, everyone accomplishes more. That's what the word team stands for. T-E-A-M. And that's what a family is all about, and that's what a kehillah is all about, and that's what Klal Yisrael is all about. And I realize that I'm going over my time, so, okay, we'll just have to end just with, I'm sorry? We'll just have to end just with one more quick thing. And that is, you know, Rav Volba once told me, I asked him, you know, I have the opportunity to speak for parents about chinuch. What should I tell parents? And he said, tell parents, there's two things that they have to give their children. Time and love. So my son who was there, I guess maybe he was afraid how much time he would have to give his kid, because, you know, he was in the middle of learning in Kailal. So he asked Rav Volba, how much time do I have to give my children? And he gave the classic answer, as much as they need. That's the answer. If we want that our children should be mechabed us, it comes automatically when they feel that you love them. We're all involved in business. We're all very busy. We have a million things to do. But I am telling you, you are not allowed to go every night to every single chasana and to every bar mitzvah, every bas mitzvah, every upsharing. It's impossible. Klal Yisrael has grown. It's beautiful. And I got a secret for you. If you don't show up at that wedding, you'll be surprised. They got married anyway. So, unless it's your brother or your sister that you have to be there. But otherwise, calls, I mean, people ask me, how do you travel? The last couple of weeks alone, I've been to Italy, I've been to Mexico and Detroit, and now here, and next week I don't know where I'm going. I'm going to Toronto again or whatever. All my kids are married. Mm-hmm. You've got to be crazy to do this kind of stuff if your kids are home. When your children are home, you belong to be there. And when you have your child sitting right next to you, and you understand what parenting is all about, as Rav Shamsha Ful Hirsch told us, Kamede Savicha, he said that you should give over the Messiah, then there's going to be that close relationship. Because that's what children want. Children want to look up to a father and to a mother. They want to feel that this is my icon, this is my connection to Hasinai, this is my strength. Many of us are so humble and we feel, oh, my father, he was a father. My mother, she was a mother. Me is like a joke. That's not how your kid looks at it. To your child, you're the one, you're the connection. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the connection to the past. They should help that every single one of us. I'll just end with this beautiful expression. I once heard that the most beautiful things, the two most important things that you can give to our children, one is roots and the other is wings. You have to give them roots. You have to show them where they come from. The family, the minhagim. To me, the most beautiful thing, and I know I'm not in monk's shul right now, to me the most beautiful thing is the daven of monk's shul. I mean, to come to that shul this morning, to hear Rav Feldman say slichas, and to see the minhagim that are kept from generation to generation to generation, that's the most beautiful thing in the world. That's the hamshach of what Klal Yisrael is. We all don't have to be yekis, and we don't have to be svardim, and we don't have to be, but those people, that the Messiah. And each one of us has a Messiah in our family. And that's what we have to maintain, no matter where we come from. Maybe she should help, that we should taka be just like those avonim, those stones that never break. That's why the Shnei Luchos HaBris were put on stones, so that they should never break. It should be that Av, the Ben, the Neched. We should be able to give over to our children the Messiah of Klal Yisrael and be zeicha to go with children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren together to be Mekabel Mashiach.